यमुना तेरा मनचारे यमुना तेरा मनचारे जय राधा सुंदरी गोपी जाना बालबागरे बरहारी गोपी जाना बालबागरे बरहारी यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन राजन यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन राजन यमुना तेरा वन Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. श्री श्री राध माधव की टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम फोर कैंटो चैप्टर 15 विल एक्चुअली कंप्लीट Chapter 15, we have three verses, and only the first one, the one on the board, text 24, has a purport. 25th and 26th doesn't have a purport. And all three are spoken by Maharaj Prithu. Chapter entitled, King Prithu's Appearance and Coronation. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Namastu namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Mahatmanam atmani kartum isha. Stavakai stavayate shatopi tesya bhavishyam iti vipralabdho janavaha sankumatirna veda mahadgunam atmani kartum isha. Stavakai stavayate satupi tesya bhavishyam iti vipralabdho janavahasam kumatirna veda. Vaishnavas. Word by word, Mahat, exalted, Gunam, the qualities, Atmani, in himself, Kartum, having, Api, although, Te, they, Asya, of him, Abhavishan, might have been, Iti, thus, kumati efu, na, does not, veda, no. Translation. Again, this is Maharaj Preet speaking. How could an intelligent man, competent enough to possess such exalted qualities, allow his followers to praise him if he did not actually have them? Praising a man by saying that if he were educated he might have been English person simply insult him. Prabhupada explained. There is a incarnation of the Lord is a great personality because the top personalities in the universe have presented him gifts, extraordinary mystical gifts, and he was already recognized. And in fact, we'll see at the beginning of next chapters these various suttas and professional reciters, they are encouraged by the great sages. No, go on, glorify him. But at the same time, everybody appreciates this great humility, homage Prithu, this great realism, and this great sobriety. Srila Prabhupada in Bhagavad Gita gives a very interesting definition of humility in the 13th chapter. He says that humility is the freedom from anxiety to enjoy being glorified by others. The tendency is that somehow we all want, in this material world at least, the tendency is that we want to be glorified, we want to be the center of attention. We are here to imitate Lord Krishna, so Krishna naturally, spontaneously, naturally, constitutionally, ontologically, Krishna is the center of all attraction, is the center of all existence, and is the center of all glorification. Krishna means that you cannot look anywhere else because the attention, the attraction, it's all like a magnet, like the vortex of attraction. So naturally all the glorification, all the praise goes naturally to him. Now in this world we are trying to imitate him, so we want somehow a part of that. And therefore, in mundane consciousness, we are always eager to be glorified. We need it. Sometimes it's a sign of insecurity. We need other people appreciation, acceptance, certification. And so, we're trying to look good. We're trying to conform to the social standards. And this takes a lot of energy. Sometimes it takes a lot of energy to look good. All energy that could go in being good and feel good. Instead, all energy goes into looking good. And therefore, there's constant anxiety, constant fear that maybe I won't look good enough, or somebody will look more good than me, better than me. And this fame in this material world is something very elusive, very impalpable, very immaterial. Because actually when we think about reputation, when we think about fame, it is something that exists only in other people's mind. Being famous, what does it mean being famous? It simply means that you are present in a number of people's mind. First of all, it's a very fragile circumstance because you can be very famous, and then overnight you can become infamous. Those who follow the news, just yesterday, this Dominique Strauss-Kahn, he was the president of the International Monetary Fund, IMF. It's a very big position in the world. President of the International Monetary Fund. Entire countries go and beg for help to him. And he was also candidate for the French presidential election. But he was in New York, and he was in a hotel, and sometimes he tried to commit violence, sexual violence, on a waitress. And he was arrested, now he's in jail. And everybody says that he lost all the chances to be elected as president of France, and most probably the International Monetary Fund will fire him. So overnight, one of the most influential, he was famous also as an intellectual, he wrote books, people, you know, he has different economic theories, internationally read, and overnight from famous he became infamous and lost everything. So this fame, first of all, it's very frail. Very frail. And sometimes it's destroyed by defamation. Even if you don't do anything, he did something apparently, he did something wrong. But sometimes even if you don't do anything, your fame may be tarnished. Some of us may have experienced that sometimes we have not done anything, but we get defamed, we get accused of something. And that affects our reputation. And if we are attached to the reputation, we are going to suffer. See, there is no way we can enjoy fame without suffering when there is defamation. If you enjoy the moment of honor, or they call it in modern terms, the 15 minutes of fame. If you enjoy those minutes of fame, you will suffer the moment where you're not famous anymore. And again, remember, fame is nothing concrete. It's something in people's mind. And it's only relevant to the body. Once we leave the body, whatever fame and reputation was in that body, in that persona, is gone. And even the fame that it's in other people's mind, when those people leave those bodies, that fame, that image of you, also is gone. So working for fame is really not something intelligent. At the same time, fame, reputation, a good reputation, as any asset in this material world, is also very, could be very useful for engagement in devotional service. If you have a good reputation, if you have a good name, that can be used as your credential. People will listen to you, either because you are very rich, or because you are very scholarly, or because you have performed extraordinary activities, extraordinary deeds. That can be used in devotional service. Therefore, often when the standard system is that when a speaker speaks, say, there's a seminar or workshop or even a lecture, before that there is an introduction. Who is the speaker? Because people, if they know, oh, this speaker did this and this, that, and he has an extended experience in this field, and he has this title or this position, people tend to listen more carefully. They think, oh, this is a person worthy listening from. This is a person I can learn something from. This is a successful person, and I can learn how to reach a success by listening to him. Otherwise, the speaker has to start completely cold. So it's hard. It's harder. At the same time, obviously, as any asset in this material world, it could be money, it could be beauty, it could be knowledge, and it could be fame. They can be used in devotional service, they can be very valuable, they're the famous zeros that by engaging in devotional service become one, we put one in front. At the same time, of course, they're also not dangerous. Money is very good for using in Krishna service, but sometimes we may become attached, thinking we are the owner, we are the possessor, and sometimes we don't want to spend it. Beauty, you can also use in Krishna consciousness. If you are attractive, people may more naturally become attractive. To us, like Srila Prabhupada's strategy of preaching in India through his white elephants, big American and European disciples, that's only physical, white elephants, nothing spiritual in being a white elephant in itself. But that particular attractiveness of being a Westerner can be also put in Christian service. Sometimes it's very impactful. At the same time, if we identify with the beauty, of course, there are dangers, there are repercussions. So here we see Maharaj Parikshit, Maharaj Prithu, is not, it shows by example, is not so eager to hear this glorification. It's not too anxious to hear himself glorified. In fact, he cools everything. He said, look, I've not done anything yet. I've just been born, I've just been coronated. So wait for me to do something special and then you can actually glorify. But because the sages knew the future and so on, then they knew that he would do something special. And it's a fact that in many traditions, for instance, in the Catholic Church, before declaring somebody a saint, they wait for the people to die. Because you never know. You never know. So they let the person die. Then there are a few years, they institute a committee studying the life of this person. And then if they don't find anything seriously wrong, then they make him, I don't know what they call it in English, in Italian is beato, beato, blessed, they call him blessed. And then after a few years, they can make him a saint. Beatified. Yeah, they beatified. Just a few days ago, in the Vatican City in Rome, they beatified John Paul II, the previous pope. They beatified him as a person who has completely dedicated his life to God. And in a few years, he will be made a saint. Okay. This is the whole process. But the point is that they are careful in whom they recognize as a saint, as somebody who can be venerated by all the Christians, by all the Catholics. And we are very fortunate that in our Krishna consciousness movement, our Sankirtan movement, we have many saints, outstanding saints. And today is a special day because we celebrate the appearance or disappearance of quite a few of these great saints. Certainly very remarkable personalities. We have, for instance, the appearance day of Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri, very little is known about his birth and earlier years. Basically, we don't know anything. Because when we encounter him in history, he's already a sannyasi. He is, practically speaking, the first Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharya. Basically, the Gaudiya line starts from him. He is described as the sprout of the Lord Chaitanya's tree. He is the grand spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya. Madhavendra Puri was the guru of Ishvara Puri, who is the guru of Lord Chaitanya. So Madhavendra Puri is the spiritual grandfather of Lord Chaitanya. He had many disciples, the most important being Ishvara Puri and Advaita Acharya himself. Who can be the guru of Advaita Acharya? Who is the guru of the all universes? It's Mahavishnu. So who can appear and become the guru of Mahavishnu? Madhavendra Puri is considered to be a Nitya Siddha devotee. He's considered to be like a Kalpa Vriksha, a desire tree from the spiritual world. And he connects us, according to the auto authorized biographies by Caricar Natura and other notes by Baladeva Vidyabhushan, Gopal Guru Goswami, it connects us to the Madhva Sampradaya. But he's the first one who manifests this mood of Madhurya Rasa. The first one who manifests this sense of separation from Krishna. In fact, Srila Prabhupada in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when in that verse in the Mangala Charana, Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutam Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsa, in the word by word translation, when there is written Shri Guru, which is a plural of Shri Guru, Srila Prabhupada says, all the Guru in the disciplic succession from Madhavendra Puri to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Specifically says, when we say Shri Guru, is starting from Madhavendra Puri. We have a lot of respect and veneration from the previous gurus in the Madhva line, but it's a different mood, it's a different process, it's a different, sometimes also a different philosophy, like that. So, Madhavendra Puri is the starting point of Gaudiya Vaishnavism in this world. And we don't have much time, but everybody knows the greatest pastime which involves Madhavendra Puri. He was such a strict sannyasi, he would not even beg. He would not even beg. He would only accept food, alms, if they were spontaneously given. So one day he was in Govindakund, in Vrajabhumi, Vrindavan, and Krishna himself came as a cowbird and offered him milk. And then in the night, Krishna appeared in his dream. There was a lot of exchanges through dream between Lord Krishna and Madhavendra Puri. And he instructed that, I am somewhere in the jungle, I've been hidden because of the Muslims' attacks, invasions, and I'm here, I'm very hot, it's very uncomfortable, so please pull me out and install me again. And then he found, in Govardhan, he found this Gopal deity, who is now worshipped as Sri Mataji. Sri Mataji originally is a Gaudiya Vaishnava deity, also Srila Prabhupada said, but is worshipped in Natwara by the Vallabha Sampradaya. I don't know if we should try to get him back. May not be top priority, but we should know historically it's Gaudiya Vaishnava. The Madhavendra Puri discovered and installed, and some of them he was brought to Natwara in Rajasthan. Natwara? Rajasthan. So then Madhavendra Puri did a beautiful installation, everything. And then Gopal also again appeared in his dream and said, look, I was for so long in this jungle and my body is all kind of prickly and still not recovered from all this heat and this exposure to the elements. So please go to Jagannath Puri and get sandalwood so that you can smear me on my, you can smear it over my body. I'll be fresh. And today, it's still Chandan Yatra, so we can understand the mood. Because it seems at that time, sandalwood was very rare. You cannot just find any anywhere. And generally, it's from the hills of Karnataka, South India. There's a lot in Malaysia, but North India is not a place for sandalwood. I think sandalwood, the Indian government has monopolized all the sandalwood. Nobody can have a private business of sandalwood. All its monopoly of the government of India. So even 500 years ago or so was very, very precious. So Madhavendra Puri underwent this whole journey on the way to Jagannath Puri, which is maybe 1,500, 2,000 kilometers. And when he went to Ramuna, there was this very famous story also of Kirchhoff Gopinath. How many of you have been to Ramuna? Significant minority, but it's a very worthy place of visiting, it's a very important place. Kirchhoff Gopinath. In fact, he got the name Gopinath, got that name. Kirchhoff means the thief of Kir, the one who stole the Kir. Of course, everything belongs to him, but specifically, that one night, Madhavendra Puri was there. Madhavendra Puri was thinking, I would like to offer this kheer, which is a very brown, condensed milk, very sweet. I would like to offer this kheer to my Gopal deity. He was meditating like that. So he was thinking, how does it taste? I would like to understand. And then he felt, oh, but this is not offered yet. So he felt himself a great offender. I mean, just trying to figure out the recipe for offering to his deity. But somehow he felt very guilty. So he left and he went to the marketplace. So then that night, the Gopinath deity appeared in the dream of a pujari, of the pujari of the temple. And he said, look, I kept one pot of kheer for this sannyasi. You please wake up, take it and bring it. He is in the marketplace there, chanting. So the pujari woke up and found the pot and he gave it to Madhavendra Puri so he could satisfy his desire to taste the kheer and then to cook it for Gopal. And then, again connecting to fame and praise, Madhavendra Puri was very afraid of this fame. Now I've become famous, everybody will get to know Krishna. Kept specifically a pot for me, so then he ran away basically in the night itself. And he kept this pot. After eating the kheer, he also ate the pot. So this Ramuna, I mean, piece by piece, just a few, not a pot in the sense of earthen pot, what do you call it? Because it's so sacred, so he wanted to honor completely this Leela. Honor, literally honor. So then, and then it seems that he spent the whole life between Puri and Ramuna. There also he got another dream, and Gopal said, look, I know it's a very long journey to come back to Braj, so you can just stay here, make the sandalwood. He went to Puri, then on the way back he stopped again to Ramuna. And then the dream came and Gopal said, use this sandalwood pulp for Gopinath. Anyway, we're not different, so I'll accept the service through him. So, it doesn't seem he ever went back to Braja. He stayed between Puri and Ramuna and finally left his body in Ramuna. And there is still a samadhi there. There's a little murti. Madhavendra Puri Murti, the sannyasi, there is chapels, sandals. And this it's a very special place. It's a small little village, but it's a very special place. They say that this Gopinath deity was carved directly, personally, by Lord Ramachandra. Because Lord Ramachandra was there with Sita Devi, and one day Sita Devi said, well, I heard that you appear like a cowboy, as a Gopinath, so I would like to see the form. And Ramachandra sculpted this form of, sculpted or self-manifested, anyway, this form. See, in Chaitanya Charitamrita there is this picture of this pastime, the Kirchhoff Gopinath, you saw the picture with the Radha Krishna and the pujari who looks for the with the pot. It looks very much like a Radha Krishna ISKCON deity. Looks like Radha Govinda in New York, something like that. But actually, it's a different form. It's like a, what do you call it, bas reliefs. It's a block of stone and Gopinath coming out and the cows and the cow all around like that. It's a very special place. Even the offering, what they do is that midday, they make a particular kitri at midday, and they make many, many, many plates all in front of the deities. The whole temple is full of plates of kitri, that they offer all that. And then they give that to the devotees. Well, one plate of kitri, like that. Anyway. So today is also, talking about deities, today is also a very important day because it's the appearance of Radharaman. Radharaman, I think more people seen Radharaman than seen Kishore Gopinath. Everybody at that, who got the darshan of Radharaman here? Okay. Radharaman in Vrindavan? Almost the majority. So Radharaman appeared today less than 500 years ago, because this happened after Lord Chaitanya left this planet. Gopal Bhatta Goswami, one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, he's actually the first one among the Goswamis who saw Lord Chaitanya. Because he's Gopal Bhatta Goswami is from South India. He's from Srirangam, and Chaitanya went there as a sannyasi, like that. So, after Lord Chaitanya appeared, now this is one version, one story, there are different versions, but one story is that he felt a lot of separation, and in a dream, Krishna appeared and said, look, if you want to be relieved from this separation, go to Nepal, go to the Gandaki River. So then Gopal Bhatta Goswami went to the Gandaki River and he somehow found different Shalagram Shilas, and he brought 12 back to Vrindavan and he started worshipping this Shalagram Shila. So it is said that on the day of Nishinga Chaturdasi, which was yesterday, he was meditating, was praying. Especially a few days before, there was a merchant, a seti. Group who had given all these gifts of clothes for the deities, ornaments, and the Goswami told him, look, I only have Shalagram Shilas, they are round, they are not, these clothes don't fit them, I can't use them for them, so why don't you give to somebody else? But this merchant said, no, you keep it, you use it. So then on Nishinga Chaturdasi, it seems, Gopal Bhatta Goswami prayed, my dear Nishinga Dev, you manifested yourself spontaneously. I would really love to have you in a form, like a physical form, human-like, so that I can serve you better. Okay. The next morning, which is today, Purnima, he did the puja, he did the dog offering, and then he covered the deities, put them to rest. So then in the evening he came back, and he covered with some sort of basket or something. Then he opened, and one of the 12 Shilas, the Dhamodar Shila, had transformed himself into Radharaman. And he was very, of course, extraordinarily happy. In the back, you can see one part of the back which still looks like a Shila. But the rest is Krishna, as you know, Radharaman, who is very detailed. In fact, more detailed than general deities. Has got teeth, has got fingernails, very detailed deity. And so everybody was very happy. Rupa and Sanatana Goswami came, and there is a description that they baited him with his own tears out of happiness. So today is the day, and it's a great festival. I think they use about 500 liters of milk today as a abhishek. It's coming on in Vrindavan, Radharaman temple. And today is also the appearance day, or appearance or disappearance days of
Parameshwar Das Thakur. Maybe he is not as known as these other personalities because there is not much description, at least not a detailed description, but he is also a very, very special personality. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada quotes a purport by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And there is a couple of paragraphs describing Paramananda Das Thakur. He was actually a coward boy in Vrindavan. One of the coward boys that played with Krishna Balaram. And he was the fifth. There's different numbers and they're numbered in different ways. So he's the fifth most important coward boy. His name was Arjuna, not the Pandava Arjuna, the Vraja Arjuna. And he was playing with Krishna Balaram. And he appeared, he was in the line of Nityananda Prabhu. It is said that his body is the playground of Nityananda Prabhu. He was always absorbed in this ecstasy of Sakyarasa as a Gopal. Was constantly absorbed. It is said he did not even know if it was day or night. So absorbed. Parameshwar Das Thakur ki, what can we say? And one more thing, today is also the appearance of Srinivasa Acharya. Srinivasa Acharya was studying in Vrindavan. He was like next generation after the Goswamis. Jiva Goswami is the most prolific writer, the topmost philosophers in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, and he's the youngest of the Goswami. He had this school, Radharaman, Radharadamodar temple, and he had specifically three special, very special students. One is Srinivasa Acharya, one was Chamananda Pandit, and the other one was Narottam Das Thakur. So all three great acharyas. Srinivasa Acharya was no elder, so it's even among the three is considered the senior one. And sometimes it is said, don't ask me exactly what it means, but it is said that he is the 16th part of Lord Chaitanya. It's like he has a 16th of Lord Chaitanya's power, opulence, brilliance. So if Lord Chaitanya's power is infinite, 16th of infinite is also pretty big. So it's a very great, personality. And after studying Jiva Goswami, after studying under Jiva Goswami, he was a Shiksha Guru, Jiva Goswami, even he came back to Bengal with the books, because they studied, they copied main books, both traditional books and also commentaries by the Goswami, so that all library they were carrying back to Bengal. Because books are the basis. If you have to establish a sampradaya, you need to have texts, references. So they were coming back, and my car would be 5-6 hours, 6-7 hours from here, by car, Birbhum district. They were coming, the Birbhum district, and then the all car load full of books were stolen. If I'm not mistaken, there was the old band of the dacoits, the brigands, or the king, kind of, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, he had an astrologer, a court astrologer, and the court astrologer saw something, said, and somebody carrying a great, great treasure. There's a great treasure come passing through our kingdom. You got to get it. And so the king sent a commando of soldiers, and they stole this cart. And then they brought back the cart. It was full of books, all Sanskrit books. You can't figure out what is this things like that. So then there was this rescue operation by Srinivas Acharya, who was looking where are the books, and finally went there. I don't remember now the story exactly, but somehow he found that the books are here, and he could not only recuperate the books, but he could make this king, what is his name? Virandir, and then he becomes something else. What's his initiated name? Anyway, this Virandir, king in Vishnupur, he became a devotee. And he turned the whole kingdom into Vaishnava, Gaudiya Vaishnava devotees. And even up to now, Vishnupur is famous, it's even a touristic place, because of these marvelous temples, terracotta temples. All Krishna, Ramachandra, Krishna, Rasa Leela. It's a... I would like to go one time. Sometime we can organize a tour or something. It's about 3-4 hours from Bardhaman, you know the Bardhaman station? From there, about 4 hours more. And there is still this terracotta temples, specific, special Bengali style. And that was all started by Srinivas Acharya. He became the guru of the court, the guru of the, guru of the king. And he got married. And he became like a lineage of guru, even his daughter became a guru. Anyway, he started the whole Sampradaya there from Vishnupur. So it's a major acharya in our line. He was known by the disciples as Acharya Pad. That was the title they were used to address him. Acharya Pad, Srinivas Acharya. Like that. So today we have all these appearances, it's a great day to be in Mayapur, it's a great day to be in the Sampradaya. So we got 5 minutes and then all the darshans will start. Any question or comment, any detail maybe you want to share? Yes, should we get the mic to this Prabhu? The question is the same Srinivas Acharya the same as Srivas Thakur in the Panchatattva? No. Srivas Thakur in the Panchatattva is a manifestation of Narada Muni, and he was a contemporary of Lord Chaitanya, was living here, basically a yoga pit, and Lord Chaitanya would go every night to do the kirtans in Srivas Thakur place. This Srinivas Acharya comes later, it's a different personality. Prabhu is making the point that sometime in this Vaishnava bhajans is mentioned, yes. For instance, Narottam Das Thakur, he mentions quite a lot. He mentions, now that this song, this Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu is also mentioned there in that song. What's the line? Yeah, Dhaya Koro Shri Acharya. So please be merciful. He called him Sri Acharya with great respect, because he see, he was very friend, but he was his senior. So when he sing Daya Koro Sri Acharya Prabhu Srinivas, that's Srinivas Acharya. That's him. Also in the song of the separation from the disappearance of the Lord, he's also mentioned there. So last point. Yeah? Yeah. No. He decided who has to speak. Both together. So Prabhu is making the point that Jiva Goswami himself, the Shiksha Guru, he himself gave this honorific title. So to Srinivas Acharya, Acharya. To Narottam Das, Thakur. And to Shyamananda, Prabhu. Prabhu. So it was honorific titles given directly by the Guru. So the Guru must have been pretty happy with the students. Okay, I don't want you to miss the darshan, so I'll close here. Okay? Chagrantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Radharaman appearance day ki, Parameshwar Das Thakur disappearance day ki, appearance day Srila Madhavendra Puri Srinivas Acharya ki, Nitya Gaur Prema Mandir.